to go in there and seen Aunt Dixie open a great big frying pan that big and crack a dozen eggs and throw them in there and put the lid on them and say, I ain't letting them things worry me. And go sit down and come back and they just turn out perfect. A whole dozen of eggs in a pan. And that's where they cook. When they cook big old pots full of potatoes and big old things full of cornbread, that big, that thick cornbread. And then they call them soup beans. What we call pinto beans, they call them soup beans. And they cook them every meal. You got to have potatoes, you got to have soup beans, and you got to have some kind of meat, ham or something like that. So they want to know how many people to cook for. So if you're not on the list, you get on there tonight. If something comes up, you're supposed to be off of the list. Get off of there as soon as you can if you have to. But we want everybody to go. Everybody get signed up. We have a motel for the boys to stay in. A girl's going to be staying in homes. A lot of good things planned out. Going to Tug Valley High School, Sheldon Clark High School, and all these things. Now, here's a man here that I want you to mention, that I want to mention to you tonight, and just point out one thing about his life, and then I want to just mention a thing or two to you men here that walked across this platform a minute ago. Acts chapter 26, Paul here was giving his was giving his testimony, and I was thinking about another message in Acts 26, but here in Acts chapter 20, he began to talk about all the trouble that he'd had. You ain't going to make much of a preacher if you don't go through some trouble. Amen? It's all right to get this stuff out of books and in your head, but you ain't going to make much of a preacher till you go through some trouble. And the reason God lets his preachers go through trouble is so we'll have a heart for other people. If you ain't been through nothing, you ain't got no heart for nobody. People that's never suffered a death don't know how to go comfort somebody with that's had a death as much as somebody who's been through it. And the reason God let some of his men go through some terrible times, he could have stopped it, but he didn't, is so they would be able to comfort, that's what Paul said, them which are in any trouble. And Paul said that. And Paul went through it. He had been shipwrecked. He had been stoned. He had been beaten with rods. I tell you what, if Paul was nowadays, people would think that man must not be living right. Every time he turns around, something bad happens to him. But he was right. And he didn't get treated like us. I go somewhere and preach. I usually get to stay in a motel or at least in a decent house. He wound up staying in the county jail when he went somewhere to preach. And so God lets you go through things. Some of you men, all three of these men have already been through some rough times. And you know what that'll do? Make a man out of you. It'll make a man out of you. You young men coming up, you've got a lot of zeal and enthusiasm. Don't let your trouble knock that out of you. Keep that zeal. Keep that enthusiasm. It's not most preachers don't let it happen. They get old and grouchy and bitter as they start getting old and they get grouchy and set in their ways and nobody can't talk to them and they're just hateful and mean. And Paul didn't do that. He said in verse 24 of chapter 20, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. You know the song, I Shall Not Be Moved? That's what kind of move he's talking about. He said, I took my stand for God, been standing here all this time, and I'm going to not let any of this trouble move me over here or move me over there. There's something trying to move you when you take a stand for God. If you don't believe it, just take a stand from God and you'll believe what I'm saying. I preach a message on this, and I'm not going to do that tonight. Won't have time, but I preach a full-length message on the subject, the man that nothing could move. I'm going to give you one-third of that message tonight and talk about people who will try to move you in the ministry. Actually, the actual message, the first part is, it's more than one-fourth, it's one-fourth. People couldn't move him. Persecution couldn't move him. Problems couldn't move him. And powers couldn't move him. I'm only going to talk about people tonight because you know that the powers of the devil are out to get you to move you away from God. Some people don't realize. They think when you take a stand for God, everything just works out and everything falls in place. Glory to God, you shout down the highway. Now you might shout down the highway, but you're going to get your head beat in while you're going. Amen? And there's no exception. He said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Ever since I've been preaching, and especially since I started this church, it has been one thing after another thrown right at me just like that. And a lot of stuff y'all don't even know about. Battles that I've fought by myself, just me and the Lord, in the wee hours of the night, and trying to pray through things and learn things and get things. And sometimes there's family troubles right here in our church that I have to deal with that the rest of y'all don't even know about. And sometimes there's inner problems that maybe... and difficulties and battles of the mind and battles of the flesh and battles of the world and battles of the devil that y'all don't even know about. It's going to be a battle, fellas. It's going to be a battle. You're not going to just sail through and nothing ever hits you. It's like the wind's blowing one way and you're going the other. You're going to get hit. There's no avoiding it. There's no way out of it. You're going to get hit every single time you turn around. I got to thinking, sometimes people will try to stop you. People will try to stop you. Nearly 20 years ago, a woman who was one of the most spiritual women in this town, met me up on Main Street up there at a parade, Christmas parade. We was up there giving out tracts or something. We had had our first big battle here at New Manna. Our church was 2 years old. This was in the fall of 1979. And a woman met me up there that people had confidence in. I had confidence in. She is maybe 10 years older than me. I looked up to her. I admired her as a spiritual lady. She looked at me and she said, "Danny, you should not be pastoring that church." She said, "Danny, I know, I've been around a long time." She said, "You should be an evangelist." She said, "You should not be as president of the church." And I'm telling you, that about drove me crazy. I thought God was speaking through that woman. And I thought, well, she knows a lot more than me. Maybe, and there was other people. And you know what? I began to pray. And the more I prayed, the more I felt like they was wrong. And the more I prayed, the more I felt like they was wrong. And the more I preached, and the more I prayed, the more I felt like they was wrong. Now, I stand hear you tonight, 20 years later, I thank God I didn't listen to her. You know what? That was the devil talking through that girl. Amen? That wasn't God's spirit. That was the devil talking through her. And I know it, and you know it, and probably now she knows it, I hope. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful, people, and it can be good people, will move you and push you out of God's will. I'm to tell you tonight, listen to me, fellas, nobody can tell you God's will for your life. Nobody can tell you. I can't tell you. Your mama can't tell you. Your sister can't tell you. Nobody can tell you God's will for your life. You're going to have to get out in the briar thicket and out in the woods somewhere and get on your face and settle up between you and God Almighty. You know what? I've always been the time, buddy. It takes me a long time to figure it out. But if I ever figure out God wants me somewhere and God wants me to stand, I want to make up my mind. I'm going to stand there. Let the wind blow. Let the people talk. Let them say what they will. But, brother, don't let them move you out of God's will. Let me tell you something. Just a few weeks ago, there was a preacher, a man who calls himself a preacher, trying to get anyone at our youth rally to take place. This man actually tried to keep people from coming to our youth rally and probably did keep groups from coming using his telephone. This man claims to be a preacher. Now, I ask you, there are a lot of people say, "Well, he's a preacher. I better listen to him." Well, you know, we had 40 people saved and about 400 rededications. And a lot of people said that Saturday night was the greatest service they've ever been in. Do you think it was the Holy Spirit talking through that man? You tell me. I don't.
Oh, believe it. You better watch who you listen to, and you better watch what kind of, listen, some of these nuts going around, you can always tell a man that has no ministry because he uses his whole time trying to criticize anybody who has a ministry. If a man's got a ministry, he ain't got time to go around knocking everybody else. He's got a ministry. You always know a man that don't have a ministry because he spends all his time knocking ministries. Amen? Don't let them move you. You say, well, Brother Danny, that scares me. They've been doing that for 15 years. 10 years ago, there's a preacher down in South Carolina calling people, trying to keep them coming to our youth rally. 10 years ago. Same old stuff. It ain't never changed. 10 years ago. Last I heard of him, they had him on TV where the law had caught him in a crime down there in South Carolina, and he's facing jail. Don't let people move you. Don't let people move you. You know who will stop you if you ain't careful? The devil will get in your wife. And I can tell you story after story after story after story after story of good men of God that have been hindered and finally just never could do nothing in the ministry because their wife would not let them. Now, ladies, don't think I'm fussing at you. I'm not. God bless you. The best thing in this world is a good woman. Best thing in this world. A good woman put a good man to shame any day. I couldn't hold a light some of these godly women in our church. I'm not worthy to shine their shoes. You understand? I'm not up here knocking women. But I'm telling you, the devil can get in a woman and she can hinder a man in the ministry more than any other thing. There's been 15,000 preachers just give up and get out of the ministry because every time they walked in that door, their wife was fussing and raising Cain, saying, why did you go? You love the church more than you love me. Are you married to the church? Why don't you just go live up there? I'm seeing that. Does that sound familiar to any of you guys? Scared to say amen, but I know it does. Hey, let me tell you something. John Wesley's wife was demon-possessed. That's what Ruckman said. And I believe him. I believe it. Dr. Ruckman said John Wesley's wife was demon-possessed. And I believe it, man. He said that she'd go around where John Wesley was preaching and stand up right in the service and say, you're a liar, John Wesley. You was out drunk last night. Right in the church service. And she used to beam. John Wesley, one of the greatest men in the history of the church. John, there probably ain't been a greatest, Ruckman said this too, and he knows a lot more about it than I do. He said there probably ain't been a greater Christian in the history of the Christian church than John Wesley. And he's, you know, they had long hair. The men had long hair back then. And his wife would drag him around the house by his hair. And he would not say a word or hit her because he knew it was wrong to hit his wife. What a blessing. That's a good man. Amen. But he has a good man. And she finally bailed out and left him. And they said, John Wesley, your wife left you. And John Wesley got up and he said, I did not make her leave and I shall not go and fetch her. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what he said. Listen, boys, make up your mind. You don't say, hey, now I'm not saying, I mean, I hope I'll ever get a good wife. I've got nobody in mind when I say this. But I tell you what, you wives hold a big responsibility. If God's called your husband to preach, I know you won't have the burden he does. I know you won't feel it like he feels it. Nobody feels it like a preacher feels it. My wife knows how I am. It's like this Ted Bailey thing. Somebody told me the other day. They said, Danny, you just get off of one thing and get on another, don't you? I said, yeah, I've always been that way. She told me, she said, Danny, you get consumed with something. I said, that's right. Anybody who ever amounted anything did. And I get it on the brain, man. I get it on the brain until I do it or accomplish it or get it finished or whatever. I got this turbo thing on my brain. I mean, I think it, sleep it, eat it, talk it, walk it. I think about it, wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. And it's going to get a lot worse in the next 2 weeks. And I understand that my wife don't have that burden. She don't have it. You've got to understand your wife is the weaker vessel. And be good to her and kind to her. And all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, you ladies make sure that demons don't use you to discourage and stop your husband. I've seen a lot of people here at our church make some stupid mistakes, and a lot of times it was because a woman told a man what to do, and he thought, well, she's more spiritual than I am. I better listen. And she might have been. She might have been. Well, I know one thing. You better not let them stop you. One preacher told me from out of state, they loved the youth rally. He loved it. He said, man, our kids got a dose. He said, Brother Danny, don't you come preach at my church here this fall? It's up north. He said, I had one preacher call me and told me not to bring my kids to that youth rally. And I said, he did? I said, I can't imagine a preacher calling another preacher and telling them, you know the whole point of being independent Baptist, don't you? You ever read it on the sign out there? Independent. It means we're not in a denomination. We're not in the convention. We're not a Methodist. We're independent. We do what we believe God wants us to. It ain't none of nobody else's business what we do in here. It ain't none of no preacher. It ain't none of no church. It ain't none. It's between me and you and God Almighty. And if y'all are happy with it, and I'm happy with it, and God's happy with it, it don't make a flip what the rest of the church is or the preacher's either one. Think about it. Say amen right there. We'll die if we let an outside group control us. We'll die if we not yield to them instead of the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. Hey, we've been loose too long like a mule running in the pasture, man. We don't let them put a bridle on us now. And I said, well, what did that preacher say? And he said, well, he just called me and he said, well, brother, I'm just concerned about your church. I don't want you to hurt your church. I said, well, did it hurt your church? He said, Lord, no, our kids are on fire. He said, they come back fired up, shouting the victory. Well, and I said, okay, well, personally, I thought about that and I thought, I cannot imagine calling Sam Bellini or Gene. And now they're right out from under us. I cannot imagine calling them up and say, I don't believe you better take your young people to South Carolina to that. I wouldn't do that. There ain't enough money in town to make me do that. It ain't none of my business what Sam does with his teenagers. Even if I disagree with it, it still ain't none of my business. Well, Brother Danny, don't you think you should call him? No! It ain't none of my business. Don't you preachers get out there and let a bunch of other preachers control you. Tell them to jump in the lake. Now they'll ostracize you if you do that. You won't have a lot of friends maybe if you do that. But I want to tell you something, brother. It ain't none of their business what you do. If one of them calls me and asks me my opinion, I'll be glad to do it. Preacher Holifield used to tell us at Nebo, he said, we've got a lot of people giving opinion, but nobody's asking for it. But everybody's opinions like armpits. Everybody got two and they both stink. It don't mean nothing. Well, don't let your wife, your kids, your job. As a lady stopped me right out there in the parking lot one day. It's been 15 years ago, and she said, Brother Danny. Oh, I don't like it when they do that. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I think you should preach about this and that. And she turned, oh boy. Inside me, I said, it'll be snowing you know where when I preach that. But I didn't say that. I said, I'll pray about it. See, you can't let people move you. You can't do it. You can't do it. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're the most important member of the church. I don't care if they got more money than everybody. You're not being cocky. You're not being proud or stuck up. You just take it serious. That's between you and God what goes on in that pulpit. I know I ain't perfect, man. I made a mess out of it a lot of times. I'll have to answer for everything I say. But I'll tell you one thing. It's between me and God. And when you guys get out in the ministry, it's between you and the Lord what you preach. Between you and the Lord. Our deacons don't tell me what to preach, when to preach, how long. They don't ever come to me and say, preacher, you've been preaching a little long lately. They hint it a little bit. Somebody did that the other day. I forgot who it was. I said, boy, Brother Danny, you've been going long here lately. That was Sunday night I preached about an hour. Well, I'm letting you off easy tonight, so that makes up for it. But listen. Paul don't need to let nothing move in. You got to get tough, fellas. You got to get a little calloused, and you got to get your hide's got a little thick. I remember up in the old building when we first started, if the air conditioner was too cool or somebody complained about it, just tore me all to pieces. You got to get over that. You got to get over that. You'll go in the grave. You'll get ulcers. And we got problems in our church right now. Wouldn't you like to know them all? Some of you would. I know you would. Somebody said, Lord, no, don't tell me, preacher. I just want to come and get a blessing. I got enough problems in my own life. And that's the way you should feel. We got problems in here right now tonight. But you know what I've learned over the years? God's big enough to take care of His church. If we'll just be faithful and do what we're supposed to, He'll take care of the whole thing. It's not my job to straighten out all the trouble in the church. It's my job to be faithful and preach this book. I talked to a man today having some problems. I ain't going to tell you who it is. And I told him, I said, the reason I hadn't said anything about your situation is because I thought if y'all want to talk to me, husband and wife, I said, I'd be glad to talk. If you don't, that's fine too. I'm not sticking my nose in your business. Now y'all know, and I'll say this on a personal note before I move. Y'all know, if you ever really need me, I'll be there. You can call me anytime, day or night, if you really need me. If you just want to shoot the breeze, don't call me. I ain't got time. But if you really need help and you got serious problems, you call me. I'll make time for you. That's my job. It really hurts my feelings a lot of time when people have a tragedy or something and say, well, Brother Danny, I didn't call you because I know you're busy. No, I want you to when it's something really bad. And I'll be there. And Brother Bruce will be there. And the other people will be there. When you get out in the ministry, you've got to be available to people, but you cannot let people control your preaching. It's up to you and God. Y'all ask Brother Bruce. I never tell him what to say or what not to say when he's up here. When he preaches on Wednesday night or anybody else, I say, whatever God lays on your heart, you preach. Amen? So I just want to bring a little challenge to you fellas tonight. Maybe we'll get the rest of this message some other time. I use it sometime in revival meetings. People could not move him. Some of you men here tonight could really be used by God, but you've let people talk you out of it. And get back in there and serve God tonight. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer.